The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. Are you ready?
Yeah!
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. It's 4 a.m. once again. That means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I'm your host, as always, Tony. Joining me today is...
Brian.
I'm Falco.
And Joe.
All right. Yeah, a boy who needs a friend finds a world that needs a hero in a land beyond imagination. We watch The Neverending Story from 1984.
Brian, I was flying, and I pulled a muscle in my thigh. Would you come rub it for me?
Oh, sure, sure.
My inner thigh.
Yeah! Why does it look, seem like you got mange or something? Why are your scales all flaking off and stuff? Like,
I'm a poorly made puppet.
I haven't had a good rubdown in ages.
All right, so this movie is directed by Wolfgang Petersen, who brought us Enemy Mind, In the Line of Fire, Outbreak, Air Force One, The Perfect Storm.
It's a bit of a...
Troy and Poseidon, the remake anyway.
Wait, the Brad Pitt one?
Troy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, this is a little bit of a departure for him.
That's like,
it?
He's all over the place. That's like everywhere. Yeah.
Well, there's also a good gap between some of these movies. But anyway, so what's your personal history with this movie, Brian?
Yo, this is my shit as a kid. Like, I used to want to be riding on Falcor, my luck dragon, and stuff. And, like, this was my shit. Like, but I haven't seen this movie in, like, 20 years. So, yeah, it's different.
Rob?
Yeah, I saw this movie in the 80s, and I don't think I've seen it since then.
All right, Joe?
Yeah, I need to get two disclaimers out of the way before we go any further.
Uh-oh.
So, the usual, I will refrain from making any pedophile jokes throughout the rest of this.
Well, the rest of us are going to, though.
Yes. I'll leave that up to the rest of the podcast.
Pretty much, he generally does that because he knows we've got it covered.
That's pretty much all I've got.
And to just every 5 minutes or so while we're just ripping this movie a new asshole, please keep reminding yourself that it was 1984.
Also remember, you can like whatever you like. It's okay, but we're just, this is what we do.
Have you seen this before?
So I've only seen parts of it, and I'm guessing that if I ever tried to watch this, I would usually change the channel or something, because this movie's boring as hell.
Oh, that's such a
and,
shame.
Like,
you should have said something. Mm-hmm. You could see any parts of me that you want. Mm-hmm.
This would cut into my time that could have been spent on, like, Commando or the G.I. Joe movie or Iron Eagle or something like that.
Much better quality.
No, but more in my wheelhouse.
It's debatable, I guess. Okay, so the movie itself has a history, of course. It's based on a novel.
Does
the same
Tony
name.
Have a history?
Oh, yeah, I'm getting all over the place. To be perfectly honest, I saw this a long time ago. I haven't seen it since the 80s, and I never really went back to it because I kind of always remembered it to be really boring. Like, I knew it had cool scenes or whatever, or cool ideas and certain effects, but, I just remember it feeling super long and boring. So I didn't really check it out since. That's my history.
Well, I understand you feeling super long.
Okay. So, the history of this movie, it's based on a book of the same name by Michael End, I believe is how you say his name. E-N-D-E. He did not like this adaptation of the movie, and he actually was trying to get the movie stopped at one point, and ultimately ended up trying to sue the studio that was making it. Which did not work. I tried to get his name removed from it, but they ultimately agreed to just put his name at the end credits and not anywhere in the beginning.
He's just like, dog, can't you just say it's by Stephen King or something?
With these hands, thought were strong. I thought wrote a good story.
It's all gone now.
Our lead here, Atreyu, apparently should have gotten some extra hazard pay for this movie, as he almost died several times while filming it, including the fight scene with the Gamork. He almost lost his eye when the giant robot slashed at him, which...
Well, they just launched it out of a cannon.
Yeah. I'm guessing from the sounds of it, there was more of a fight scene planned, but after the first take went horribly awry, they were just like, yeah, scrap that shit.
They're just like...
He killed it somehow.
Let's just stick a My Pet Monster on the end of a fire extinguisher.
Also, while training to be on his horse, the horse at one point threw him off and then stepped on him.
Oh, is that why he drowned it?
No, but in the Swamp of Sadness scene, the elevator that the horse was being lowered on for the drowning scene, he got caught on and dragged under to the point where he was unconscious when they finally pulled him out.
Whoa!
Yeah.
So, brain damage then.
Possibly. The name of the mystical island is actually poorly translated. It was actually originally supposed to be Fantastica, but, you know.
That sounds super dumb.
Yes, but through translation, it became Fantasia. And, at least as far as I know, this might not still be true, but from the information I found, if you go to the German studio that filmed this, you can still ride on the Falcor puppet.
What? Yeah.
So anyone planning a trip to Germany?
Yeah!
But it's weirdly on its back now.
Like belly rubs.
He does like belly rubs. Anyone want to guess at how much money this movie cost to make?
$42. No, I'm playing. I'm going to go with 1984 practical effects. I'm going to go with $3 million.
I was going to guess 4, so I still guess 4.
18.
That didn't register at all. Like,
Rob says 18.
Wow, that's terrible. All right, I guess I'm going to have to give it to Rob's terribleness over here, as it was $27 million. Wow,
really?
That's what they say.
First guess was 25. In
80s money? 80s money.
I think you can make a movie that looks better than this today with $27 million.
Yeah. It all went into lawsuit settlements. Mm.
You think the boy sued Falcor?
Yes. I think the city sued Falcor.
Excuse me. All right, so does anyone want to guess at how much money this movie made?
$50 million.
I'm going to say 40.
Go with 30.
Okay, it was $100 million.
Okay. Wow.
So who do we have? Wait.
So that guy didn't want his name on it even after he made $100 million.
Well, no, I'm sure after it made money, he was okay with that. But okay. During the production and everything, he had a problem.
He's okay that the royalty checks had his name on him.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's unclear if or when he came around on the whole idea, but yeah, he just wasn't very happy with his adaptation. So, who's in this movie, Joe?
All right, so you have Barrett Oliver as Bastion, Gerald McRaney as Bastion's father, Noah Hathaway as Atreyu, Tammy Stronach as the childlike empress, and Alan Oppenheimer as anything that needed a voice. It's like the Rockbiter, Falcor, Gamork, and the narrator.
Wait, didn't you... Hmm? Okay. Yeah. No, that's fine.
Okay.
I misheard something, so... And then my brain checked it and said, okay, that passes.
Alrighty. Well, now that Rob's brain has accepted this movie, what do we got with this,
Rob? I didn't say that. What do we got?
Yeah. Let's get into the movie.
Oh, so...
Let's move.
We start out, we get a scene of just like, I don't know, Storm Chaser footage or something?
Flash Gordon sky effects.
Yeah, Flash Gordon sky
effects. Screensaver.
And like...
Sweet soundtrack.
Yeah, holy crap, do we get an iconic song.
It's an iconic song, but I gotta say, when I was listening to it this time, I was like, sounds like an 80s sitcom theme.
Yeah.
But not like a movie score. Like, we just came off watching, like, Batman, you know, such iconic music, and, you know, other films that came out in the 80s, like Back to the Future and, you know, Ghostbusters.
I'll tell you what, though, like, I saw half of this movie once, And this song, like, bam, I was immediately back there.
Oh, yeah. Well, and also there was, like, what was it, in the mid-90s, there was, like, that remix that came out and was all over the place. And
yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So we start out with that. And then we, somebody's got to jump in here because I'm going to forget.
Okay, we meet the main character, Bastion.
Yeah, Bastard.
Yep. He had a dream about his mom. His dad, played by Major Dad, couldn't give a crap. He's too busy making himself an orange juice and raw egg smoothie here.
Yeah, what?
Yeah. Because that was the thing, maybe?
Okay. I mean, you know,
whatever. Him and Rocky, I guess. That's... That's all I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, he just sits down, like, his son's like, hey, dream about mom. His dad's like, you know,
Move on, son.
Say no to school, get your 8 hours of drugs.
Do work.
Drink your work, yeah. Get your head out of the clouds, put your feet on the ground.
Here's a problem I have right off the bat. We need some context of timing here.
Because
He's just, you know, yeah, your mom died, get over it. Like, she might have died last week. I don't know what the fuck's happening.
No, but this guy's mustache just reaches across the table and slaps some man into Bastion.
He was like, it's been 60 years. You're only 6.5 years old.
that could also be, she died 5 years ago. You're 6 now. Time to move on, kid.
Yeah, I mean, basically he's like, you know, yeah, I know your mom's dead, but that's not an excuse to fail out of school and just not do anything ever. Like, get a grip.
Well, yeah, but again, like, a valid point, maybe, but, like, if his mom died 3 days ago and he skipped swimming trials, that's understandable. If his mom died, you know, 5 years ago, yeah, maybe you need to start looking ahead and doing other things.
Yeah, but, I mean, he, like... It's disappointing because he just got a brand new swimsuit in the mail from his mysterious benefactor, F. Alcor.
All right. So.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah,
it's begun. Yeah, I mean, Dad's trying to parent here, I guess, but it's one of those talks where, like, the person's clearly not listening and they're just like, okay, Dad, and then that's it. Right. Like, all right, I'm going to go off to work.
Okay, Joe.
I'm going to go. Puke up this orange juice and raw egg concoction I made.
I think that's the other part of this is, like, you know, I want you to do better in school. I want you to, you know, do all this other stuff. But I don't actually care and I'm not going to follow up on this. So see you later. See you at the end of the night when I tuck you into bed.
Yeah, that's how he copes with his wife's death. He's eating all these raw eggs and orange juice. And he's like, the constant need to hold back a stream of vomit is keeping my emotions in check.
So,
alrighty.
Bastion just runs into the standard 80s danger of the bullies.
Yeah.
So it's 80s bullies, so, you know, all bets are off. I mean, like, they could do some Clarence Boddicker shit to you.
I mean, they suck. They look more nerdy than he does, though.
Yeah.
Strength in numbers, but there's three of them.
Yeah, I get it. It's the food chain. They're just one rung up. They're not all, you know, all the way up there.
They think they could be cooler kids if they bully some kids.
Sure.
So
they're right. You know.
Yeah, they are. They're been that's there. Absolutely correct. So they throw them in a dumpster.
Bullying kids, Rob.
What I like, though, because you think that's just a standard 80s bullies doing their thing. And then when the kid gets out of the dumpster, they're like, who said you could get out of the dumpster? they waited for him.
We are willing to skip our school day to make sure you don't.
Yeah, that was my thing. I was like, does anybody have to go to school or that not a thing for anyone here?
So Bastion runs for his life into a bookstore, meets this weird, creepy guy. Now, there was a long conversation about chicken nuggets and Uber Eats, so I literally heard no words this man said, but it's just creepy as hell.
Basically, the guy's like, get the fuck out. And the kid's like, I like books. He's like, I'll get you books. Get the fuck out. The kid's like, I read real books. Like Lord of the Rings.
But he said, you don't know what a book is. And I think he says it's these weird square things called books. Because he just does not believe this kid knows what books are. Mm-hmm. Until the kid, starts naming real books like Lord of the Rings and everything. And he's like, oh, yeah, books are great. But you don't know what real, like, danger is from books or some shit like that.
It's like your books are safe.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wee-woo, wee-woo. Yeah. Stranger danger. What does he mean?
But he pulls his whole like reverse psychology on his kid. He's like, not even because kids was interested in, into it to begin with. But he's like, do your books make you feel scared and stuff? He's like, yeah. He's like, but then how do you feel afterwards? He goes, well, it's just not real, so I feel okay. He's like, there, that's your problem. He's like, what? Your books are too safe. So what the fuck are you playing at, old man? Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Let me tell you about Fight Club.
Yeah. I got this real book with real stakes. It's called the Kama Sutra. No idea.
If you don't finish this book by tomorrow, I'm going to kill you. Oh, sorry.
Let me offer you these chick tracks.
Yeah, he basically just makes it sound like this book is the end-all, be-all, awesome shit. And at that point, we were theorizing that, like, it's a cursed book, and the guy's, like, trapped in reading this cursed book, and he's the only way you can get rid of it is either finish it or give it to someone else. So he's like, I gotta let this little kid take it.
Yeah. I think that's a valid point, because if you think about the rest of the movie, it totally makes sense. Like, he's an older guy, he's starting to lose his imagination as a child.
He couldn't think of a name?
More or less, he couldn't be bothered to deal with it, is what it really is.
Well, he wasn't an Earthling child, so even if he could come up with a name.
That might be, but maybe, you know, because his imagination was waning, he had to pass it on to somebody else.
Okay. So we gotta remake this movie, current, present day. Bastion's like 50-something, and well, no, he'd be in his 40s. A little older than us, fuck. student loan debt out of his asshole. He's like, but he still has his damn book. He's like, making wishes on. It's not working the same anymore.
He's like, come on, book. I just need one more Sally Mae payment. Come on.
That book can't get him the job he wants in his chosen career.
I don't know, because he didn't go to school. No.
That's what I was picturing. Is like, correct. He dives bomb the Sally Mae office with Falcor and just takes a big shit on the side of the building.
You know, wastes all his kids are in the pages of the books. together and shit.
Like, oh, God. Now, Falcor would have cleaned him.
So now he has to find some other kid to like to get off his hands, but it's a horror movie now. Like, just change genres altogether.
Also, it's like an e-reader instead of a book.
Yeah. He's just living in a one-bedroom apartment with Falcor.
It's like Saw meets the Mummy story.
Do you want to read a book?
Well, yeah, we did kind of there. It's kind of like The Ring, where like you need to pass it on to the next kid to get rid of it. So you
come
survive.
On, Bastion. It's Thursday. It's time to express my anal gland.
Oh God. But yeah, so kid steals the book, and as soon as he does, the old man like starts smiling at him. So I'm like, this guy's planning this shit. Like, this is some bullshit.
Got some quote unquote wrestling magazines in there. He's excited. It's good to see.
Here's where I had some beef. Uh-huh. This movie is a blatant ripoff of a film that came out in the '60s called Godzilla's Revenge, in which a little Japanese boy is hounded by bullies and find solace in an imaginary land called Monster Island, where he has to help Godzilla's son save Monster Island.
You're with that one?
Yeah, I'm going with there. That one? Okay. I'm going there. Yeah.
Well, when he said film from the 60s, I was like, where is Rob going? And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Of course.
That shitty ass rubber ass suit. Yeah. All right.
And he has to teach baby Godzilla to use...
Godzuki, if not mistaken?
It's Minya.
Oh, I'm sorry.
To use his...
Godzuki.
I do believe he is named Godzuki at some point in this series.
to use his breath powers to fight off the bullies on Monster Island.
I believe he does this by jumping on his tail.
He does. Well, Godzilla steps on his tail.
Oh, it's Godzilla.
And makes him shoot out. You know what? I'm going to stop. This is too much of a detour. Let's get back to the...
Wow, when Rob can stop his own detour.
I'm running out of Doritos.
Goes to school. He's missing his math test. He says, fuck it, I'm going to hide in the attic, and I'm going to read this book.
Yeah. All right, so this school, several problems. You only see everything but the creepy room for like a minute, but there's a few things I observed. So one, the school has these weird little peephole windows that you would find on prison cells.
Yep.
On each of the doors. So just like, I guess the principal can just peer in on a class. Like, I don't know.
How they slide in your food tray.
Yeah, it's how they slide in your food tray.
Well, they got to keep Falcor's out.
Yeah. Falcor can't fit through there. Then he runs upstairs to the attic, which has one of those, like, in case of emergency, break glass boxes that has the key to the attic.
That's broken.
It's broken. Yeah, no one's replaced that, covered that, taken the rest of the broken glass out.
You're in a school full of kids. Somebody's swiping that in a moment.
In a minute, yeah.
I will argue.
And someone's getting cut on that, like, immediately.
As someone who's going to a public school, finding one of those broken and not replaced is not that uncommon.
Well, but at least the contents are missing.
Yeah, there's no key in there.
Yeah, the key would not still be in there.
So then he goes up to the attic,
I guess.
Storage room.
It's the no. It's like a full haunted house in this school. Goonies
chamber. Like
it's the room of requirement.
Yeah.
Just don't.
No school around anywhere is made of like wood and planks. It's all just solid concrete blocks.
Mm-hmm.
In which
you're not legally allowed to do that anymore.
Right. Like the base of the school that he's in the first place is those concrete blocks. Mm-hmm. He goes up this like staircase, like normal concrete staircase. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he's in like Abe Lincoln's mausoleum.
Yeah. And no school ever had the budget to have any of the things that are in there.
No.
Yeah. Like there's like wolf heads and skulls and there's like a like iron barred staircase going down somewhere else.
It's a freaking Broadway production of Hamlet up in that attic.
So anyway, it's
what
just
school did y'all go to?
What?
What school did y'all go to?
We all went to basically the same schools.
I mean, like, this you shit had, was in like my school.
You had a creepy attic? You had an upstairs attic?
Well, it was, so my school was so old, it was like all run down and falling apart. So when I was in school, they actually tore it down. We had to go to a different school. But the old building had a whole bunch of, it was all brick. Brick and stuff like that. But like, yeah, it was like old ass prop shit all over the place and stuff like that. Like there was areas of the basement we couldn't go in because it was full of storage shit like that. And my high school was even worse. Our high school had a bowling alley, a shooting range. Oh my
God. Like, how is it worse? It sounds amazing. Yeah.
Ours had a field. And another field.
A field that was sometimes a shooting range.
But. Yeah. And like one stadium that they put a lot of money, they put all of the money into.
Yes.
Yes.
And then another field.
A bridge that they built for 12 years.
We did have an ice skating rink. That was pretty cool. But that was about it.
There was a troll living in it.
There was like a shop wing that if you went into, you immediately needed a tetanus shot.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I used to spend a lot of time in that shop wing.
Yep.
But anyway.
So, anyway, yeah, he locks himself up in this attic, which also he can just do. He's got the one and only key to this attic.
Mm-hmm.
Locks himself up there. No one comes to check on him even after the school day is over.
No one knows he's there. And they probably call his house, but his mom's not answering. Mm-hmm. His dad's probably somewhere. I'm sorry. His dad's probably somewhere on base somewhere.
His dad is at the local bar looking for a new mom. Anyway.
So he starts reading the book. And everyone I talked to when I said we were doing this movie this week said this movie's like 3 hours long.
Because it feels it.
And I could see why. Because it's like it has about the amount of content of things going on in a 3 hour movie. But there's no like establishing shots or anything till the end, like when we start flying on Falcor, then we get some. But like,
but establishing shots of what?
Well, because that's the thing. Because now we're just like, it's a guy with a snail. It's a guy with a bat. There's a rock biter. It's all just here, and you're like, what the fuck is any of this?
Yeah,
like, yeah, they threw you right in,
and you're just there. It's going. It's like too bad. Just figure it out.
Yeah, while we were watching this, I got up to get a glass of water, and literally, like from my point of view, I walked out while he was up in this attic about to read this book. I walked back in. There's a giant rock creature about to run over this guy riding a snail and this other dude riding a bat. And, like, I was just like, I missed so much. Yeah. Oh, shit. I don't know how.
When did I get high?
You didn't really miss anything. We're just here. So.
No, yeah, apparently I didn't miss anything. They just dump you in there.
There are several points in the movie where I looked down to write something in my notebook. And I looked back up and I was like, where the fuck are we?
Yep.
I think the reason why it felt so much longer as a kid. So we all probably saw it on TV,
yeah,
which meant commercials, which meant, you know, commercials, which meant kids' commercials. So it was like probably every 5 minutes, it probably was having like new commercials. So it probably took 3 hours for real, like on TV.
And it really does. It looks like a 2.5 to 3-hour movie just cut down the 90 minutes. They just cut out anything superfluous.
Which is crazy because I checked the official runtime earlier and it said it was 2 hours and 10 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we got some kind of condensed version.
If so, thank goodness.
Yes.
Man, I could not sit through any more of that.
So, we meet an array of weirdos. You got this, we got Deep Roy in his racing snail. We got this other, looks like a brownie from Willow, guy with a giant bat.
Narcoleptic bat.
A giant bat.
Mm-hmm. And then we have a rock biter.
Yeah. It's Ferngully. It's just Ferngully up in there.
Now, this rock biter, was he just pushing a giant wheel, or did it actually, was it something he was riding?
No, it was like a tricycle he was riding.
Oh, just with one, so essentially a big wheel.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Hence the Born to be Wild song in the sequel.
Hmm. I think that's the third one.
Sure.
Hmm. Whatever. Let's not go there.
Numbers don't matter when it's the never-ending story.
So, all right. The rock biter attempts to eat a rock, but as Brian pointed out, his puppet does not have a hole that the rock can go down. So he just drops rocks on everybody else.
Yeah.
And it's like Cookie Monster eating cookies. Yeah. It's just kind of making a gross mess and spilling it everywhere.
And my first note is, I'm sure I'm supposed to be enchanted by all this, but I'm just bored.
So there's clearly a lot of imagination put into all these, though. Like, these, they're cool concepts, they're cool costumes. But already you're just like, what are we talking about? What are we doing? Why are we here?
Yeah, nothing is happening.
Yeah.
People are just
nothing is happening.
Well, they're talking about there's a nothing, you know, consuming the east, west, and
south.
And south. Yeah. But they're like, all right, well, let's go to the Empress then. Okay, I guess. Sure.
Because of nothing.
Because of nothing.
Well, yeah, like the rock biter says, like all his friends and everything were used to go down by this lake, but then he went one day and it just was nothing.
It's like a bad Monty Python joke, though. Yeah. It's like, oh, my friends were killed. By what? By nothing. What killed them? Nothing. Well, then what's wrong? Nothing.
Sure. But anyway, yeah, so they go off to the Crystal Castle where they find, it's the dude from the Lego movie. That's all I can think.
That dude.
Vitruvius?
Was that who it was?
The one played by Morgan Freeman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's him. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that penis-headed Jedi from the prequels.
Yeah.
I can see that too. But he's commanding for the princess.
Oh, but there's all kinds of weirdos in this room.
Oh yeah.
And you're like, I wanna see these people talk. Like I wanna learn about their characters and their people. Like, who are the giant stone heads that are just wheeling around? You know, there's all kinds of little people covered in feathers and stuff.
Now, and here's my biggest problem with all of this.
What?
We start out establishing, you know, we got the rock biter, giant rock mountain man. You got this weird little guy who's riding his race snail. We got the brownie with his narcoleptic bat. We got these giant rockhead things. We got these other people that have two or three heads. And, like, all this craziness going on. Like, who are we going to follow for this movie?
Some kid.
It's just a little boy.
No, like, it's a D&D module. That's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's because they're, like, just enough story to get you thinking about stuff. But, like, if you just use the module as is, it's kind of boring. You gotta add your own flair to it. So this is a module with no flair added to it.
Like, yeah.
That's all it is.
Well, yeah, and I get that, but, like, that's why I usually don't do that. Like, you know, again, he's a young boy, so the young boy can see himself in that role and blah, blah, whatever. But
you hate kid everything, I know.
I know.
Even when you were a kid, you hated kid everything.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, you're just you're just flipping a coin for your...
I'm gonna start calling you what, Morga? So Morla.
Morla.
The turtle.
Oh yeah, I didn't catch the name because I was so uninterested by that point.
Yeah. All right. So anyway,
find out there's an empress that's gonna save us.
Sure.
Well, the empress is dying currently. She needs someone to save her. So she gives out the Orin.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name of this deal.
It's as Rob described it, two snakes blowing each other.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's two-headed snakes blowing each other.
Oh, okay.
Two-headed snakes?
Because they had a head on both ends, and both ends were blowing the other end.
Oh. That sounds complicated. Either way, they got this at Spencer Gifts.
Sure. So, yeah, they call upon this great warrior that they were told was coming, named Atreyu, who is this young boy. And they send him out there to go find whatever, just something. Like, they
can't bring any weapons with him.
He had a bow and arrow.
For some reason.
No, but he can't bring it with him.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
He had to put it down.
Yeah, they make him give it up.
And he couldn't go. Had to go alone.
So why?
I don't know, because he needed weapons at one point.
Yeah, why was this a rule?
Yeah, and he did many parts of this adventure with other people.
So
he broke both those rules.
Yeah, like what?
He should tear out all his pubic hair. Motherfucker.
He doesn't have any.
Well, I mean, that's why, now.
Yeah.
Little proto Lou Diamond Phillips didn't have any pubic hair. Like,
hormone muscle hasn't come by yet.
Well, unless you count it.
Oh, he's acting in this movie like the hormone monster's coming by.
He would have had a hard time getting past that first gate.
You know? I just don't understand the whole concept of these rules because it doesn't make any sense.
Well, they're never mentioned again.
Right.
Yeah,
and
again.
Why would they?
Maybe to be broken. That's why.
Well, okay, two things. For one.
Just two.
Well, two major points. As I said, this is based on a book, and as far as I've read, basically the first book ends about halfway through this movie. So they crammed a lot in here, and I'm sure there's a whole lot more maybe explained or they delve into in the book. We get none of that.
Well, this is before the age of the trilogy, huh?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he gets his little amulet with the cover of the book, and he goes on his quest, and all that stuff that we've been talking about is done. Like, you know, no rock fighter, no snail guy.
Doesn't matter.
I'll see you when I come back towards the end of
this
movie.
This whole court of weirdos, all gone.
We do get one scene, though, where we introduce, I guess, the villain?
Yeah, well, that's another problem with this movie.
Other than Falcor.
Because, well, at first I was intrigued with the concept of nothing being the villain, just like the end of existence. Like, there's no play between the antagonist and protagonist there. So they needed something. So they have this wolf guy that's chasing them.
Yeah. And I will say, in this introduction. Mork?
Wasn't it Gmork?
Gmork.
Oh, Gmork.
Yeah. Okay.
Great name, first of all. But when they introduced this, like, as a child, I'm sure that would have freaked me out.
It was
a pretty cool,
yeah,
like, introduction.
Yeah.
Again, it was 1984.
And they should have left it there. Because once he starts talking later on in the movie, you just throw that out the window. But in this scene was pretty cool. Like, it shows the kid, or is the kid reading the book? And it's, like, describing the evil something or other.
Yeah.
And it's just showing this dark hole.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, like, you see, like, lightning flash. And the old mother dies. And then this freaking wolf, like, just comes out of the lightning and looks.
I feel it. It's back
coming
again.
Coming back again. Like a rolling thunder chasing the wind. No, it was actually pretty. It was pretty good. I will say. It was a good jump scare kind of thing.
Yeah. We get a little bit of wolf cam around here.
Mm. Wolf cam.
And then we don't see that for
better than a wolf chop.
Yeah. So he goes and he just begins his quest and rides off through a bunch of cool looking lands. And then we're like, can we adventure in any of those? Nope. Swamp of Sadness.
Yeah, well,
what's that? Oh, we're going to talk about the Swamp of Sadness. Rob's refilling his beverage.
I was like, free quick away. Did I miss it? Am I late?
Well, okay. I'm just going to start with saying, though, they tell him to go alone. He apparently just did not listen to this and brought his horse.
You gotta ride your horse.
Well, the universe said, fuck you, I told you to go alone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's going through the Swamp of Sadness.
He ain't a hobbit, he's not walking.
He should have been walking.
Now, this is the scene that everybody talks about when they talk about the never-ending story.
And I didn't realize it happens, like, immediately. Like, we have just started the adventure.
Like, all the stuff we've been BSing about, well, we're maybe, like, 20 minutes in?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
So we get to the Swamp of Sadness. We're going through it. And as long as you stay upbeat or whatever, you're fine, I guess. Mm-hmm. But
so it's like quicksand, but only when you get sad.
Mm-hmm.
You get sad, it sucks you in, and you can't get out.
So, I mean, as long as you go through before you hit your, like, late 20s, early 30s, you should be all right.
Well, that's why this little boy was doing okay.
Yeah.
This horse
just gives up.
Yeah.
Atreyu, I forgot my medication this morning.
There's like three chapters of this kid just reading about this horse's inner thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for some reason, I had it in my head that you hear his inner thoughts.
The horse?
What? Yeah. There's a giant rock creature. Anything's possible.
Those are your own voices, Tony.
Yes. Well, now I know that.
Horse in those Black Beauty movies, he's so majestic. I'll never be like that.
Think about this. It was rather irresponsible of Atreyu to bring him in here in the first place because it's just a fucking horse. Like, doesn't seem like it's a magical creature or anything. So the moment it starts to sink, it's going to be like, oh, I'm sad that I'm sinking. And then it's dead. Which is exactly what happens.
That pony Sugar Snap, she'll never look at me.
Yeah.
I'll never have a chance. I could have been something. Here I am just dragging this little kid around. It's never going to go anywhere. My father always told me I'd amount to nothing.
This is why we had to wait for you.
What was the horse's name? Artax?
Artax.
Yeah. I was just going to be Artax. Glue anyway.
Yeah. It's like,
thanks for noticing me.
So, as a kid, I do remember this scene. It's sad as shit.
Yeah, it's sad as fuck.
Like, it's real sad. But watching it now, you're just like...
It's not, though.
What?
Yeah, it is.
I didn't even know the damn horse's name, except he was screaming it three times.
Yeah, I have to say, it doesn't have the same effect. Because, like, again, I was thinking this was, like, late in the movie. Like, he spent time with his horse and everything. Like, no, he starts out his adventure and the horse is immediately sucked under.
Like, I was trying not to laugh, to be honest with you.
This is...
I won't go that far.
Some cold-hearted bastards.
No, I won't go that far, but, like,
it's a sad scene because the horse
got sad. I'm a cold-hearted snake.
It could get sad.
Blowing itself.
You don't play by rules.
Uh-oh. Joe, don't play the fool now.
Yeah. I'm like, is he really going there? Like, really? Like...
Apparently today we're just in 90s pop hits.
But no, it's sad as fuck. You think about if you get sad, you die. Like, and the whole place is a swamp of sadness where everything that goes there goes there to die. It's like that. And,
it's called puberty.
The turtle that we come across next, Morla or whatever. It's a big fucking sad, depressed fucking turtle. Like fucking Eeyore, but it's a turtle. And it's all sad. And it's a sad scene.
And it's allergic to youth.
Yeah.
Youth or humans?
Probably because he wasn't sad.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell if it said allergic to youth or just allergic to you.
I think he said you.
Oh, yeah. I thought he said youth, but either way, he was allergic to Atreyu.
I mean, I have the same allergy, so yeah. I can understand.
But yeah, so after he loses this poor horse, and he's... Which also I don't understand why he didn't sink, because he's just screaming and crying.
All right.
Because he knows he's got to stay strong.
Guess.
Right in. What's sadder, this horse death or Aggro's death in Shadow of the Colossus?
Oh, Aggro.
1,000 times Aggro.
As an adult,
I never played that game.
I mean, like, as an adult, this death is just a step sadder than when you're playing Super Mario World and you just have to jump off Yoshi to make a jump and you just drop him in the pit. It's like a tick above that.
Yeah, it's like, all right, I'll get another Yoshi in a minute.
Yeah, as a child, this was some serious shit.
Brian, I suggest you play Shadow of the Colossus. It's actually being released for PlayStation 4.
I don't own one of those. So, listeners, want to write in and chip Brian, in and buy me a PS4?
You can come here and play my PS4.
Oh, okay.
But still, if listeners would like to send us a PS4.
Listen, you want to sponsor an episode? You want us to watch Neverending Story 2 or 3? Just send us $20.
Please don't.
Guys.
I remember two sucked ass.
I mean, I want $20, but like...
We all want $20.
I don't want it that bad.
I mean, we'll just spend it frivolously on a PlayStation 4 for Brian.
No, I'm about to buy a Switch now. I think that's what I'm leaning towards.
Yeah, but if you had, like, if you had listener money...
we will never have listener money, Rob.
You don't know.
Anyway,
don't geld your horse before it's
drowned in the swamp.
Drowned in the swamp of sadness.
Yeah. So
what does it matter?
Yes.
Go ahead. Take my balls. I don't care.
He comes across a mountain. He calls Mount Myrtle, or what?
Never stud, and neither will you, Atreyu.
Excuse me. So, Shell Mountain, I guess, because it's a shell. Whatever. It's a giant turtle that's stuck in this damn swamp. And it's been alive for so long, just stuck there. It's just so, like, miserable and depressed. Mm-hmm. It's been talking to itself, and it no longer gives a shit about anything.
Right. Quality of turtle puppet.
Meh.
This one I thought worked. This was one of the ones that did it for me.
This was okay, as long as you only viewed it from the front.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When they did the side shots, it kind of lost it all.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. Yeah, honestly, I don't think any of these puppets were bad. The bigger problem was they did not even attempt to make them match what they were saying.
No, was this?
Well, that's the thing, because like early on, I feel like the best work is happening in the beginning, and then like once Falcor shows up, you're like, oh god.
I don't know, because that rock biter was just all over the place.
Was this a Henson joint, or was this separate?
I believe this was separate, because this is... This is a German-made production.
Henson, they usually say Henson all over it, right? Usually.
Yeah. So I thought, like...
It could have been.
I thought they were attached to... Maybe they remember. Maybe they did the sequels?
That's possible, too.
I remember the sequels more than I remember this. But only...
You're a little older.
No. Like, I don't think I've ever seen the sequels.
Hmm.
It was only because I've seen, like, that movie Magic Show. They had this featured... Or the sequels featured, and I thought it was like Henson stuff.
So maybe Henson grab the sequels. Maybe.
I'm thinking
they could be involved here. They could. It kind of reeks of Henson. It's got that style somewhat. I don't feel it's quite as good. That's why I don't really think it's him. But like, it could be his company. I don't know. I did not find that out while researching.
Because the Rockbiter looks like the Ninja Turtle movie to me
a little bit.
So, basically, bottom line, the turtle, like, Fusrada sneezes this kid out of the trees a few times. So now he's covered with mud and snot. Basically tells him, he's like, fuck you, I'm not going to help you. You might have to ask the Southern Oracle. She's 10,000 miles from here. I'm out. Deuces. And that's basically what everybody says at Bastion School, because they close the school, everyone goes home, and Bastion's like, I'm staying here.
Yep. Yep. It's like, whatever.
I'm sure my dad's worried sick. Fuck him.
There are no cell phones, so who cares?
Yeah. My dad probably hasn't even noticed yet.
Cops are going to be looking for me by the time I'm done with this book, but whatever.
I doubt his father pays that much attention. Mm. He might notice the next day when he's not at the breakfast table, but...
Dad, that his father's alive at this point with those shitty drinks.
That's entirely possible as well. So, anyway, the kid's like, I'm going to stay here for the night. I'm just... Gonna keep on reading, because that's Atreyu would keep going. Mm-hmm. So Atreyu keeps going. He's gotta find some way to get, you know, thousands of miles away, and he's not sure how he's gonna do it when he's about to get attacked by the Gamork, and a giant luck dragon just comes out of the sky. Swoops him up.
Let's get ready to sink into the swamp.
Swoop grasped.
Oh god, this is rough.
Yeah, like my memories. Remember this way differently, because my little 6-year-old brain was like... Because
you didn't know about pedophiles yet?
Yeah, like, well, no, just the effects alone. Yeah. This is tough.
Well, like, when
the
foot grabs him, you're like, ugh. But then when he's flying off into the sky, you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And now this the next scene we're going to talk about is you have to imagine Rob is just giggling the entire time, just for like half an hour straight.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Atreyu wakes up after being unconscious for a little while to find Falcor looking over him.
Falcor's asleep. He's asleep next to Falcor.
So this is a giant camel dog dragon monster. With just atrociously large eyes, like...
A weird mustache.
Weird mustache.
So his scales are supposed to look majestic and dragon-like, but they're kind of gross.
Yeah, they're real gross.
Like, I think it might be one of those ones where we're looking at it on a bigger TV and better definition than we ever were supposed to.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, if you took, like, corn on the cob, right?
Yeah.
And, like, paint it white with some, like... You know that little that oily translucent kind of shit, whatever.
It's iridescent paint.
Yeah, like that's
sprinkle a little glitter on them.
It's like corn on the cob. That's how scales look like.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it was weird looking.
And then that's protruding from hair too. So whenever you have hair and scales, it's always kind of.
That's a tough one to do, and it's not. It's rarely ever a good look for anything or anyone. But, Trey finds he's all... They mention how he's, like, cleaned up and everything.
It's like, I found you, and I cleaned you, and I dressed you.
Pretty much.
Speaking with a very Takei-esque voice.
Oh my.
Yeah, Atreyu seems to get weirded out and he tries to run, but Falcor is just like, hey.
Will you scratch behind my ear?
I give free mustache rides on my dick.
But he honestly, he's like, you know, you were out for a while, wink. And it's like, why the wink? We don't need that.
Too many suggestive winks here.
So basically,
I like kids.
By the way, you're missing a button on your underpants.
So Falcor flew him 9,800 something miles.
Yeah.
Whatever. So he's like, oh, you got me closer. He's like, yeah, you're lucky. We're luck tracks. What do?
Yeah.
Well, I'm all alone now. So you're not alone. Over there, there's some little less people that will, like, tell you some stuff you should know. Because it's a DB module, and you have to have things be convenient.
Go over there and meet the two people that should be interesting, but are not.
But they're not.
Like, you see them, and you're like, these guys look cool. I want to learn about them. And then you're like, there's nothing cool it's about like these
Miracle
two.
Max, he's not.
Yeah.
It's like the family from The Ref, but old and gross.
Mm-hmm. I mean.
Sure.
She didn't try to fuck Atreyu, so, I mean.
How do you know?
True.
Although, and you, well, you mean he.
Either way, he was like, both of you are too old.
Kevin Spacey joke.
Yeah, that is a little too hidden. But, all right. So, this weird elderly brownie couple, or whatever they are. Mm. I don't even know what the fuck they're doing.
What are their names? Do they even say?
I don't
know. Maybe. They did. They said the guy's name because he's important in scientific circles.
Yeah.
He says that a lot.
It's Gross and Grossina. Uh-huh. Sure.
Gross and Grossina. I like that.
Basically, they show them a fancy telescope. And that you can see the first gate, the Sphinxes. They're like, check out this asshole in plate mail is about to ride his horse through there. And the Sphinxes are like, I see you looking at my boobs. Laser eyes.
Now, those Sphinxes
had
some sweet tits.
They did.
Not going to lie.
It would be hard not to look at them.
No.
But
not going to find that in children's movies in these days.
So basically, they could tell how brave you are, or was it something like it? Like, if you doubt yourself, they kill you?
Yeah, if you don't know your own self-worth.
Yeah. So, like, the four of us would get shot the moment we stepped into the valley.
Listen, hold on a second.
Okay, at least the three of us would.
Yeah. I would not have made it out of the swamp of sadness. Just immediately step off and nope, I'm gone.
Well, because you're not taking...
I'll see you guys later. Going down.
Because you need to take your horse antidepressants.
I do. So anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think I maybe would have made it far enough to be like, oh, look, a wolf.
I might have made it to the second gate. To the second gate.
So basically, at this point, Rob was probably the only one that got to ride on Falcor.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Leave me alone with this dude.
In fairness, I'm pretty sure Brian would have just been like, we need someone's adventure. You have to go alone and can't bring weapons. And Brian would be like, nope.
I'm like, okay. You want me to ride on that dog monster? Okay.
He wants to ride on you.
It's okay. Like, oh.
All right, so maybe Rob gets past the Sphinxes, but you're not getting past that second gate.
Well, Rob, you know I'm a lot more aerodynamic if you take your shirt off.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, Rob. Put that back on.
What's the matter, Falcor? I'm just not used to so much hair.
So, so
scales.
So the armored knight goes through, gets zorped. And Atreyu's like, I can do this. He's just running.
Yeah, the guy gets fried, and Atreyu's like, I want to do that.
And the little brownie guy, he's like, yo, wait till I tell you about gate number two. Like,
yeah, he's also
get some more information. Fuck you, Liz.
He's like, yo, you got a Falcor. Just fly over that shit.
Which is funny. It's like, just go around it.
Like, the kid's an accomplished climber, too. Like, it's not, like, just... It's a mesa. Just climb over it. Like, don't go through that valley.
Well, Falcor was like,
Breasts, so gross.
Well, he was getting his shots from the missus.
That's true.
Poor gonorrhea.
But I mean, she's stabbing him with like a syringe, like the size of a short sword. He's basically just like giving him an epidural. Yeah.
He was like, did I catch something for that kid? Just give me shots, just in case.
He shot a penicillin. Let's hope for the best.
All right, so basically, like, he's all cocksure until he gets to, like, he gets up to the guy who just got vorped. And he's like, oh, man, that guy's really cooked. And sphinxes are like, oh, we're opening our eyes. And then he basically just makes a reflex save and jumps through it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, what?
Yeah.
So that's not even a, like, they still deemed him unworthy, but because he dodged it?
Like, we only get to fire it once, yeah.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
He's barely worthy, I guess.
Sure.
I mean, he got to where the knight was, and they hadn't opened their eyes yet.
Mm-hmm.
The knight had been absorbed already. So, you know, he got further than the knight did, so he was more...
All right, fair.
So, otherwise, much as we're poo-pooing this, the sphinxes do look pretty cool, and I do kind of... I like the suspense of the scene.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they do have really nice tits.
Yeah, they do. All right, so now we're just on Hoth, just snow.
Yeah, what?
Just
it's like salt, immediately. Jim.
It's salt.
Are you sure?
From Falcor.
Was Falcor just flying around in like a tornado, spreading his dandruff everywhere?
Because they had that one rebel guy that was like, salt.
Oh, you're making a reference. Oh, okay.
That's a reference to what?
Oh, you still haven't seen it. Never mind.
Is it Baby Driver?
It's not Baby Driver.
All right, anyway.
So it's from all those tears from the Swamp of Sadness.
Yes. Is it from Star Wars?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All
right. Anyway.
So this next gate, you have to like...
It's from Salt, from all the fans. You have to
encounter your true self or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so the guy's like, most people think they're good, but really like they have cruelty in them. And like,
yeah, I'd be done at this gate.
You know what? I'm going back to the Swamp of Sadness.
Yeah. I'm just going to stare at those statue tits until they shoot me.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I'm going back to those titties.
Well, like, so what I don't get... So, Traeger comes up to this mirror, sees himself, but in superimposed over himself is, we see...
Bastion
through it. Like, does Traeger not see himself, or is his true self what he is already? Like, is he already his true self? Like what?
Well, his true self is Bastion. Because Bastion is reading the book, so he's put himself in that position.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
See, like, in my mind, like, I didn't remember this movie, so I thought at this point in the film, Bastion actually goes into the like, that world.
Oh.
Now, like, I thought he was part of it from that point on.
Oh, okay. Really, he's not, like...
No.
There's one crossover scene in the swamp when he screams, I think.
Yeah.
And like to hear him.
Oh, yeah, because apparently the turtle scared the ever living shit out of him, and the people in the book heard it somehow. But yeah, so you see, there's a bit of bleed over there. So he sees Atreyu through the. Atreyu sees Bastion in the mirror, but he's. I guess that's what he was supposed to see, so he gets past that.
Yeah, like Bastion freaks out, throws the book at this point, I believe.
Oh, throw is a generous word. More like, I guess he just let go of it while running, and the momentum carried it.
3 feet?
Foot and a half.
It's a big book.
It's one of those ones where it's like, if I was the director, I'd be like, you sure you don't want to try that again?
It's like...
Yeah, maybe I'm alone in this, but I had a lot of those moments where I was like, if I was the director, I'd be like...
Oh, sorry.
Huh?
Got mad then through something?
Yeah.
Well, that too.
No, yeah. He has a lot of those moments, yeah.
Yeah, I already have those. No, but I was thinking, you know, if I was the director, I'd be like, you sure you don't want to try that again? No?
And the librarian is me, in me, and it's like, what are you doing, kid? You throwing that book? What are you...
Left the spine up and shit? Like,
you left a note to that dude saying you were going to return that book. You piece of crap. Treat that book nice. I don't care if there's a mincing, boy-hungry, pedophile dog camel monster in there. You return that book in the order you found it.
Right. Sorry, he definitely did not damage it with that.
with the worst. That. I already ate all those Doritos.
Yeah, don't worry. He did not damage the book with that throw.
No, certainly not. He ruffled the pages, though.
Yeah. So where even are we? Oh, so that Atreyu just goes through the gate and we're like, all right, we're not exploring that any further right now, I guess.
Nope.
Like, for me, that should have been more towards the end of this. Like, that should have kind of been, like, one of the final things he had to do. Because, like, it's like should be a little more subtle of a build-up to that, but nope.
You would think so. But then, yeah, to kind of make matters worse, he goes to the next Oracle, is what they're calling it, or what?
Yeah, the Southern Oracle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is an Oracle. And again, it's just the statues from before, but
now they're glowing. They glow blue.
So they're special. Like unicorns.
Little unicorns. But
little about them.
But it,
or them titties.
So wow. Perky.
So he goes up to them.
Perky boobs.
And he said, you know, you have the answers I need. What do I need to do? And they're like, find a new name for the Empress.
Yeah. So apparently fan fiction is what's going to save this world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
We need to find an earthling child. You have to go beyond the boundaries of Fantasia, find an earthling child, get him to rename the Empress.
Fanfic. That's what's going to save it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sonic the Hedgehog. That's her name now.
Yeah. I believe it would be right. Dork the Dark Hedgehog.
And so we get what's probably the other iconic scene from this movie where he feels good now. He's like, all right, well, cool, let's get out of here. And Falcor just picks him up and he's like, yeah, as they're flying through everywhere.
The music starts playing again.
Montage. Yeah, music's pumping. Yeah. You're like, if you only show the side of Falcor's head, this looks pretty cool.
Yep.
Sure.
Gross ass scales.
Yeah. And then we find the nothing.
Yeah, just shit gets crazy for a minute or two. Like,
scene was filmed on the level of like a Michael Bay production. Like, you only see very specific parts of creatures, you know, Falcor and the kid, and like, you're like, what's happening here? And no idea.
Atreyu, I had to talk to your parents today. I had to let them know I moved into the neighborhood. No biggie, just a legal thing. It's all right.
Oh, by the way, I dropped you.
We can still hang out. Oh, bye. What?
Yeah, like we have the equivalent of like one of those Scooby-Doo things where like the camera spins around them to look like they're spinning, mm-hmm. and Atreyu gets thrown off.
Wait, when does that happen in Scooby-Doo?
Occasionally, yeah. Well, not they get thrown the off a train.
The camera in Scooby-Doo will spin around.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, they just kind of take the footage and they spin it around and to make it look like people fell or something crazy happened, but they don't want to actually animate it.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. Yeah, they'll do a total, like, 180-degree rotation, right. You're and talking fall on like, their head.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, any of that kind of stuff.
I was, like, spinning around, like... All right,
no, go. Like the Matrix, like Shaggy jumps in the air and the camera does a full 360.
There's actually a camera in front of
vertically, not horizontally. So, wake up!
What even happens here? Where are
so
we?
So Atreyu
rally around the
now
family,
thrown from Falcor
with a pocket full of shells.
We're raging against the machine. Yeah.
Atreyu.
That's it. He just lands on the beach. He's like, oh, I lost the Orin. Oh, great. I found a rock biter. Rock biter's all sad because he let go of his friends and then nothing took them.
This is where I almost had to laugh because just the rock biter's like, these hands, they look like they'd be big, strong hands. But I couldn't keep hold of the little man and the fast snail or something like that. Mm. And I was just like, that sounds so wrong.
Y'all are gross.
Sorry.
It's a touching scene. Well, what I was hoping for was like...
A boy touching scene.
I was hoping that it would be one of those where, like, he held them too tight, kind of Lenny style.
Oh. That was my thought, too, to be honest with you.
And when you actually see the hands, there's just little remains of the two of them.
There's a crushed shell and some just goop dripping out.
These hands are bleeding.
Those right, hands are not small, I know.
These hands have squished a lot of snails and a lot of little guys.
Some building, it's got paintings kind of showing everything we've done so far. And there's a painting of the, the Gamork? And then it turns around and there's the Gamork.
Yeah.
Is that, that's really the name they went with?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Gamork and Gamindi.
Brian, you're an asshole.
Good working USA.
I love you, but...
So,
well, there you go.
Sorry, side tangent here, but that made me think of G'day, which made me think of Crocodile Dundee, which made me think of there's another Crocodile Dundee sequel.
Is that real?
Are you for real?
Kenny McBride.
Yeah, like, is that real?
Wait, what?
Hold on. No, I've seen, like, a commercial, like, which I could have sworn was a trailer, because it's him and Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
Meeting, getting off a bus.
So Eastbound and Down Dude is the son
Danny McBride
of Crocodile Dundee in this movie coming up. Yeah. Like, legit.
And it looks like he knows nothing about the Outback.
Which I think is the
what's the point of the movie? Is he going to the Outback?
Yeah.
Yes.
With Channing Tatum.
That's even
Crocodile
worse.
Crocodile Dundee was all, you know, being Dundee. And then he went to LA for his sequel. And apparently he stayed there and had a kid who now has to go back to the Outback.
He had a kid.
In the sequel, Crocodile Dundee, they went back to Australia.
Yeah.
He had a
to
kid.
To avoid drug dealers.
So
he had a kid 30 years ago that's now 40 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's all I was trying to remind me.
So anyway, he needs to learn what a knife is.
Why?
Yeah. But that's not.
Well, guys, for $20.
I thought it was one of those like Funny or Die things. I didn't know it was real. Like,
I really hope it is.
Maybe it'll be like that Sinbad genie thing.
Fingers crossed, gentlemen.
All right, so whatever. We go to the top of the tower, and like fucking the Gmorks, he's saying a bunch of crap. By this point, I'm so checked out.
Yeah, and the problem is, the more they let that puppet talk, the worse it looks.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to look like not even Henson quality. It's just.
I'd almost rather they do it like Mononoke, where like the big wolf, just opens its mouth. Once and like a whole bunch of words come out.
You just hear what it's like. You hear what it's saying.
Yeah, rather than try to animate it like it's talking.
I've seen more realistic lip syncs when they just took a real dog and put peanut butter in his lips. Like that's what we're talking about.
Honestly, here. I've seen better acting when they did that with children as well. Fuck. So yeah, this looks terrible. But
well, you think that looks terrible? Wait till they fight.
Yeah, ultimately, the wolf is all like, yeah, I came to kill this dude named Atreyu. I'm the slave or servant.
Yeah.
He's trying to help the nothing for some.
Why, though? Like,
he's got some nihilistic thing going on
here. I guess, sure. And,
I mean, I'm sure it makes sense, but by this point...
It gives him a big dog.
I'm trying not to fall asleep. I think Tony actually is asleep.
Tony has been asleep for the last, hour.
Tony sank in the swamp of sadness.
Yeah, that's true. If it's not Baby Driver, he doesn't care.
But either way, I'm like, I don't know. And then the wolf's just like, hata! And launches out of the wall.
Because he goes, I was trying to find this kid, Atreyu, and I lost him. And Atreyu's like, that's fucking me, fucker. Yeah. You want to fight? Come get some. Once you bleed, I'll bleed.
I'm Atreyu, bitch. Let's go.
Man, this movie would have been better if Atreyu was played by Rick.
Oh, man.
I lost my magic necklace. Woo!
But legit, it looks like they took a legit like puppet. And put it in an air gun. You know the one that shoots up t-shirts? Fire. through a styrofoam wall.
There's no like pouncing motion. There's no wind up. It's just like, blam, and he's
canceled there. Most of the scene, all I could think of was the Fright Zone. It's just a little.
There was no goop involved.
No, because it's just a little cave in a hole with a puppet coming out, going rah rah rah, but it can't really go too far.
The frat zone.
So it gets launched out, and then Atreyu just he kills it.
Well, Atreyu was holding like a stone knife in front of him the whole time.
Yeah. If any of you at home can follow this, I hope you're laughing. I know we are.
So, yeah. Okay, wolf guy's dead. You're like, thanks for coming, I guess?
Yeah, like whatever. There's no tie-in with him. Like, he makes one appearance earlier, but there's no, like, okay, whatever.
Atreyu's just like, I killed you. I'm going to go.
He seems scary, but he doesn't, like, there's nothing really threatening because you don't see him do anything.
We got no establishing shot where maybe he... Could he just kill a deer or something, right, or you know, could've, knock a tree over?
He could have killed Atreyu's horse instead of Atreyu's horse. How awesome would that be? Like, I'm just sad. I'm going to just drown here.
Or the dude with a snail, or anybody, yeah, anybody
bit,
else.
Bit Falcor, I don't know.
Yeah, anything.
Like, this movie is...
Maybe, like, he couldn't fly Atreyu over the gates because the wolf bit him.
Right.
Yeah, he needed to recover.
Healing right now.
This movie is like, you don't... It's not long enough to give you any context for any of the characters. So they just show up, they do something, and they leave. And you're like, what was that? Oh, what? I wish I knew more about that shit. Like... It feels like this should have been a trilogy, or this,
yeah,
or this should be like a series of books. You know what I mean? Like it's just missing so much, like context out of everything that happens.
And we're just underwater now. Now, like this is one part where I was writing, and I'm like, where the hell do we go? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, Falcor just drops out of the sky into the water.
No, but you don't even like you don't see that. You don't see Falcor at all. Just there's a splash. There's a shining little light. Then it shows you Falcor's head. But you never knew that was him that went in until you get to figure it out in your brain that, oh, it must have been him because we're seeing him now. Like,
yeah, anyway, he grabs the orb, brings it back. Why Atreyu even needed to lose it when he just gets it back right now? Whatever.
No, that's made sense.
Yeah, and he picks up Atreyu. Fantasia is now like an asteroid field.
Yeah, blowed up.
Like the Death Star shot it. The ruins of Alderaan.
It's Krypton.
Yeah. And the ivory tower's still there. We fly up there, meet the Empress. We just crash right through the fourth wall.
Yeah, she's looking sickly. I guess she's dying.
Who?
Hmm?
The Empress?
Yeah.
The Empress looks fine.
No, she's... Me. Yeah, she's just she's like... It's all right. Her eyes. Cool.
She's just slept in a while. Like, you know.
Yeah,
she's a little terrible, but, you know...
Treyu's all like, I didn't find the Earthling child. And she's like, yeah, you did. You brought him with you. He's right here listening to us. Just like there are other people watching his story. And I'm like, fuck you, movie.
It's the nothing. It's a combination.
When you were six.
Yeah, when I was six, I bet this was really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I never made it this far, but I bet this would have been cool.
The nothing has consumed us. It's a combination of Snapchat and Adam Sandler films.
It's destroying everything around us.
Better than Rob Snyder films. Although there's some overlap.
There aren't any.
Those have vanished into the nothing.
Yeah. Those are part of nothing now. Yeah.
All right, so that she's just like, no, everything's going to be okay. This kid just needs to give me a name. And then, like, everything's falling apart. She's like, no, he just needs to give us a name. Give me a fucking name. Can't just say anything.
She's like, you already picked it. Just fucking shout it out. Just say it.
Hey, Bastion, how about you give me a name? And he's just like, this can't be real. I don't get it. I don't
Trey's like,
it.
I don't care anymore. I died.
He just falls over and dies.
Meanwhile, we cut to the school, and Bastion is just staring blankly into the book.
Well, he said drool that
Atreyu
is
like slowly pooling around his face.
There was a moment where I thought we were getting a little Match Girl scenario where like he was just going to freeze to death or burn himself alive or something. No one. All right.
Nope,
whatever.
No one.
Just you.
You know, maybe you want to add some suspense here. Strange. Maybe this is when the bullies come and they took the book or something and he has to stand up to them and get the book back.
Right. Yeah. Like he never stands up to the bullies except for when he's got a
fucking
pedophile dragon hanging around him.
Well, that's the best thing to chase bullies away with. But
true.
Especially at that age. Yeah.
But it's all a ruse. Like he knows he can't legally come within 50 yards of these kids.
Yeah.
Or the school.
So finally, this kid works up the balls to yell a name.
Can't give out Halloween candy. Yeah,
he climbs up to a window and shouts it out to the heavens. And you can't even tell what it is. Something. He just yells
it's
something.
It's Moonchild. I heard it. It's Moonchild.
Yeah, this has been a bit of debate. Some people think it's intentionally like kind of obscured so you can use your own imagination to make it up. Which I think would be better.
Well, then they should have had a lightning crash and thunder and like have his just mouth moving. And no audio. Because when you hear Moonchild, which I heard, I was like, oh.
I didn't hear it was Moonchild until after Tony said it. It could have been Poo Pile for all.
It might as well have been.
I wish it was. But here's the other problem with that. This is his mother's name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His mother was named Moonchild?
Moon, Unit, and Dweezil.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But my God.
Born in the '60s.
Yeah, like it happens.
Yeah.
Moonchild.
So, yeah, she is now named Moontie. Again, yeah, how great would it be if he just screamed shithead or something?
Yeah. Like Shafib. Yeah.
Shafib. Thank you for saving all of us. Yeah. I am now Empress Shithead.
I liked what you yelled during the movie. You're like, her name's Gary. Can we be done now?
Yeah. It's Fa'Quad.
But, like, it's the shittiest editing because, like, he's in this window. There's lightning strikes, thunder ringing in the window, all kinds of bullshit.
Her placenta but falls from the floor.
He's lit and in the dark. He's like, he's alternating between being lit and being in the shadows. So you cannot see his mouth moving. You can't hear it because of thunder. You can't see it. And it's just, I'm like, what did he say? What? Is it just me that missed that? Anyone else missed that? Like,
either way, we got a...
No, except the hearing impaired because they got the closed captioning that clearly said moon child. Oh,
good call.
Moon. Yeah.
But it was 84 though. Yeah. Was it?
Well, no. Actually, but I mean, you know, once you get, you know, DVD releases.
This has been debated so much that some people did try to watch in closed captioning, which it does not say.
No, it's Moonchild. It's like, I know what it is. I'm going to say
in 84, in closed captioning would just say Yell's name.
Yes. it has since been revealed it is in fact Moonchild.
Yeah.
But
either way,
you know, I'm glad I didn't hear it as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
If I heard Moonchild, I'd be like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. At 6 years old, I'm like the
that's
fuck?
That's the best
I would have turned into the Star Child from 2001 Space Odyssey. Right there.
Like, what?
First, I'm an old man. Or then I'm the Star Child.
Or the Eraserhead baby.
Yeah, or the Eraserhead baby.
I would have just called this the 80s. I'd have been like, Serpentor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Evelyn!
Come to my bedroom, Evelyn.
But now he's floating out in the middle of space.
I see your sphinx.
And she's like, thanks for giving me a name, but you're a little late. This is all that's left of us. Mm. And it's just a grain of sand.
Luckily, you have the power to make wishes now.
Yeah.
And as you make more wishes, Fantasia will get stronger.
It's like, what's your first wish?
All right. So I'm thinking, like, okay, this is just like a metaphor for, like, he can read more stories and then fantasy is going to, you know, get stronger. And, like, his imagination is going to get stronger, something like that. And he's riding on Falcor. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. You know, it's a good first wish.
Falcor's like, ooh. It's really cold up here in these mountains. You should probably snuggle close to prevent shrinkage.
And he's like, yeah! So then I'm like, okay, I guess that makes sense. And then the second, he chases the fucking bullies with Falcor. Like, Falcor's in the real world.
I mean, to be fair, Falcor was going to do that anyway.
Well, yes, but...
That's why the bullies pick on him.
Yeah.
Because they're tortured by Falcor.
Okay.
So... Now, the kid has actual magic powers? I don't fucking know.
I believe the idea is that his world is not the real world because he, too, is in a book. Or in this case, a movie.
So the book ate him.
Well, no. So
he never was. Powers.
He was in this crazy dusty attic with those candles lit. And it caught fire and he died.
Okay.
And that's what this is.
That makes more sense.
I told you, magic girl.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
People know what that is.
What people?
What people? Thank you, Somebody Brian.
Out there.
Not people that listen to this podcast.
Probably not.
I mean, maybe
get some culture. Read a book.
What culture?
For,
right. Wait.
Dick jokes and pedophile jokes.
Explain this culture of yours.
Never mind.
All right. So and that's it. We just chase down the bullies. We leave them in a dumpster. We fly off on Falcor.
Yeah.
Kid never went home. Dad's
fuck
probably,
his dad.
Yeah, his dad's drowning in orange juice and. Eggs,
raw eggs.
Yeah.
My question, did he wish his mom back?
Yeah, I was wondering that, but nope.
I mean, my wishes are fairly similar, but they involve orange Julius and Cadbury eggs.
And you're riding on a T-Rex. Reese's?
Yes.
Not Reese's?
Yeah, Reese's. Sure. Why that? I mean, in that dream, I don't have diabetes, so it's pretty good.
All right. So, on that weird note...
She's a brick and I'm drowning. Wow. So.
Ben Folds. Okay. Can we go?
That's the never-ending story from 1984. So on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a score of 82%. Audience gave this a score of 81%. That's their personal thoughts and opinions. What about your thoughts, opinions, or recommendations on this? Brian.
So, six-year-old Brian has fond memories of this movie. It was very touching, very emotional. And resolution was what I would want to deal with my bullies with a big giant luck dragon. Adult Brian. It's a rough watch. It's a, like, I still remember myself as a kid seeing this for the first few times, whatever, first 100 times I've seen it. But, like, I could not in good conscience tell an adult to see this for the first time. I couldn't. But I would take, like, a six-year-old kid and make them watch it and just see, like, what they, like, where their disconnects are. Because, you know, six-year-olds see so much shit now. Like, what, like, where their brain is at, like, you know, what they figure it out right away. Like, what, how they do it. I would want to see that experiment. Like, come here, kid, watch this. Like,
okay.
Back in my day.
So you want to make one of those kids react to videos on YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay. Might already be one for this. But, Rob.
Falcor would also take a six-year-old kid. Oh, unrelated. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure... No, honestly, when I was younger, I think the reason I haven't seen this since the 80s is because I thought it was boring as hell. And my adult self also thought it was kind of boring as hell. I don't want to take away from people that remember this movie fondly, but for me, I just, like, I can't imagine sitting through this whole film again. So I'm not going to recommend it. It's definitely not for me. I was really struggling to actually get through the rest of this movie. So yeah, that's pretty much it. No, not so much.
All right, Joe.
So yeah, this is one of those reviews that I do where I'm going to put it in that category where leave your nostalgic memories of it where they are. If you liked this movie back in the day, just keep remembering what it is you liked. Don't go back to watch it again. If you've never seen it, then don't watch it. Maybe, like Brian said, if you show it to a six-year-old, like, it might be something they'd enjoy. But yeah, as an adult, don't. That being said, this in 1984, I'm sure this was a very groundbreaking and important movie. And it was clearly a lot of imagination and effort put into it. You know, they tried, but it does not hold up. So that being said, I can't recommend it, but I acknowledge that, like, I'm sure it was a good movie in its time, and I could see why it has an 80s critic review and an 80s user review.
Yeah. I'm going to mirror a lot of what Joe said. Like, there are good ideas to this. I'd be somewhat interested in maybe looking at the books. Or if someone tried to remake this, that might not be such a bad thing, as much as any remakes are. But, yeah, as far as this movie, it's better being left in that nostalgia box in your past, because it doesn't look so good in the light of the modern day. So, yeah, not a recommend from me.
Can I make a recommendation?
Sure, please.
So, there's another movie from the 80s about a kid reading a book. That, like, is one of the few movies that I think, like, almost universally is regarded as perfect, called The Princess Bride.
Oh, I thought you were going to say The Page Master, and I was going to come across this table and hurt you.
Wow, this is me we're talking about.
That's true.
And I believe that's the 90s.
Yeah, but needless to say, like, you want a movie about a kid, you know, exploring a story and, you know, kind of developing while he does so, and this one bonding with a parental figure. It's The Princess Bride. And, like, the story is way more interesting, way more exciting. Just watch that.
And Peter
Falk. The fantasy's way better. Like, and what?
Peter Falk is way less creepy.
Peter Falk is way less creepy. Andre the Giant. Some of the awesomest sword fights ever put to film. Anybody you killed my father. Prepare to die. Like, just Princess Bride. Done.
Yeah, no arguments from me.
I'll second that emotion.
Yeah.
Joe, you should make a module based off of this movie, but, like, fill in all the gaps and shit you wanted to hear that wasn't in.
It's going to be one of those ones where, like, the characters are aware that they're characters in an RPG and, you know, they got to bring the players to.
We'll play it.
Shitty.
We'll do it for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, write in if you want to hear Joe write a story.
Give us $20.
I think you might have to throw in another 20 just for Joe, but we'll see.
All right, but moving on from that, recommendations instead being Princess Bride. So what do we have for the people, Brian?
It's that D20 of Fate time. It's time to roll. Whose roll is it, sweet?
I think it's yours.
It is yours.
It's mine? Oh, shit. When are we going to watch for a roll of 20? I already know.
That was quick.
Oh, yeah. I think about a while. It was almost a one. 8.
All right. Oh boy. Well, it's appropriate. 8 is 1986's Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay.
That happened.
Can't make that up. Wow. All right.
Wow. All right.
That's going to be...
We did not plan that, folks.
So it's going to be... Next week, come back to learn what a knife is.
Yeah. And also what balls are, because he grabs some of those too, I think.
Well, you know, a surefire way to tell someone sex.
Hey, this is a girl. Also, prepare for a lot of really terrible Australian impressions.
Oh, for sure.
From me, specifically. Yeah, I don't know about everybody else, but
I'm sure I'll do something terrible.
I mean, that's every week.
Why I'm sure it'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
So besides Crocodile Dundee, what do we have for the people, Rob?
Well, guys, we have for you the end of the episode, and we want to thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our website, s4ianpodcast.podbean.com. You can find all of our old shows there. You know, download some of the oldies but goodies like Tremors and Beastmaster. Pretty good episodes. We have a new episode every week. Please consider subscribing to us. If you want to help us spread the word about the show, you can find us on Facebook or Twitter at 4AM Podcast. And of course, if you'd like to write in, you can contact us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. And you can always give us 20 bucks and request whatever movie you want at the sponsor link in the website at the 4AM Podcast or 4AMPodcast.podbean. Thank you, Joe. 4ampodcast.podbean.com. You can go to the sponsor link and sponsor an episode.
Carter's brain was hit with the nothing right there for a
He's
moment.
Pretty much it.
All right, so we hope you all join us next time for Crocodile Dundee, but until then...
Deuces.
That's not a knife.
Rob, I'm going to your bathroom to leave a swamp of sadness.
Good night, everybody.
And he hits this falsetto where he's like, it's bad.
I can feel it.
Can you feel this? All right, question.
Yes.
What was the name of that cartoon that had these knights that had these hologram things in their chest?
Visionaries.
Well, and visionaries and like
just visionaries, I think,
because like the hologram, they turn into whatever's in hologram.
Yeah, it's just visionaries.
Oh, okay,
like I was about to say in humanoids, but it's visionaries. Yeah. Tony was right.
Right. Now the live action one with knights was Tyrannodog, right?
Yes,
Tyrannodog.
Okay,
but I think Visionaries is getting a movie.
What?
Soonish.
Why?
Oh yeah, Hasbro is doing all their stuff as movies.
Why?
Actually, why not? No, not all their stuff. Mask was scrapped.
Was it?
What?
Yeah.
The fuck?
Do you really want that, though?
Do you really
want more that? Than Visionaries?
The way Hasbro's handled any of their properties, yeah, do you
that's
want
fair.
That?
That's
I think
fair.
Probably they were like, Mask is probably too close to Transformers. They're rebooting G.I. Joe.
Gosh.
With The Rock? Well, he was already in one.
He was already in one, and Bruce Willis was already in one. But I don't know what they're rebooting it as, but they're rebooting Transformers. They're rebooting G.I. Joe.
They're rebooting Transformers?
Yeah, because Michael Bay's done directing them, so they're actually like gonna get actual.
Wait,
directors.
For real?
Yeah,
I didn't know that was a thing.
So this, the next one that's coming out this year is Bumblebee's like solo movie.
Yeah,
it's taking place in the '80s. Bumblebee is a VW Bug.
Yeah, but he still, as far as I can tell, looks like Bumblebee.
He looks like they're keeping the same aesthetic.
So it's not really a reboot.
The script was written by a lady, so it's. Probably not going to be the same as the Michael Bay films.
And it's the lead. Well, the leads, as far as I know, is John Cena, which...
That's
no, that's not the lead.
How are you going to see him?
The lead is a young girl.
Doot.
Well, yeah, the main lead, however, is the girl from True Grit, which that has more promise.
So we got kind of like a...
How are you going to say the lead and then say the main lead?
Yeah, John Cena is playing the main lead.
The two leads.
What's that?
John Cena is playing like an FBI agent, I think. Oh.
No, what'd you say, Brian?
I'm saying, like, wouldn't the main lead be just be the lead and the other guy would be like, you know...
Oh, I thought you were saying, wouldn't Bumblebee be the lead? And I was like,
Bumblebee
you would
lead.
Think that.
But no, never, but it never is. So far. Well, I mean... It's showing promise so far because it is.
Yeah, no, I'm interested from what you said.
It does take place in the 80s. Yeah. Michael Bay has nothing to do with it.
Yep.
Yes. And all positive.
Yeah. You know, it's all, and that's basically how they're going from here on out. So
it's not, but it's not a reboot. They're just.
Well, this isn't a reboot, but I think the next Transformers movie is going to be like a soft reboot.
Stupid thought. Like yeah. Bumblebee, like he didn't. He had some head trauma or something when he crashed. He's his transformation when he first starts is a bumbleball. He's like, let's go. Like,
that'd be pretty great.
BB-8.
Yeah.
It's BB-8.
Oh, God. Bumble
I'll get there eventually.
All right. Fingers going up.
John Cena. Do, 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 do. I'm sorry.
Brian, you can't see me.
Listeners at home, you can't see us. Like, literally. It's a podcast.
I can't right now. Fuck. I'm sorry.
Trying all right, so okay. hard.
I'm good. I'm good.
It's so hard to keep Star Trek.
And you got so far.
But in the end, I'm just going to kill myself. Aw, that was terrible. I feel bad. I'm sorry.
You should.
I should.
All right. That killed the giggles, though, so thank you. Can we do it now?
I'm going to try.